Shalom Havarim, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely wife, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Thank you, honey, and let me remind all our listeners that this is a very special week to thank God for His very many blessings. As we know, we're going to need some more blessings in this world today. Seems to be spinning faster. President Trump is in for some tough times in Congress, so let's be sure to include him in our daily prayers as we also plead for his favor over today's program.
Okay, all right. Heavenly Father, our El Shaddai, we need your guidance and protection to stand strong to overcome our enemy's tactics. We pray for our president not to be persuaded by those who would wrongfully advise him. We lift up those who are called by your name for healings, especially for Marianne, our good friend and sister in the Lord who is suffering so. We pray for those affected by California's fires, particularly for your saints. May those who don't know you call out for salvations during this time of hardship. Bless this program, and may only truth be told. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen. Okay, well, we are currently studying Revelation 2 and 3, the seven letters from Christ to the entire church age, beginning in about 33 A.D., all the way still today. Now, this week, of course, we've added the final church called the Laodicean church age, the seventh church added to the still existing ones called Thyatira, which is the Roman Catholic Church, Sardis, the Protestant Church, and the Philadelphians, or the born-again, spirit-filled church, which will soon be leaving to join Jesus in the air, according to 1 Thessalonians 4:16, because we're going to escape the coming judgment. And on those left behind, who are also called the earth dwellers in Revelation, and they're called the earth dwellers because they prefer to make earth their residence instead of joining the groom in heaven.
Yeah, you know, the first three churches, they're no longer here.
The first three, that's right. That was Ephesus, Smyrna, and Pergamos, although Pergamos evolved into Thyatira.
Okay, before we get into our study today, what news do you have for us today?
As we reported last week, approximately 500 projectiles, I never can get that word right, flew into southern Israel, and 60 Israelis were wounded, several critically. One civilian was killed. Numerous homes were destroyed. The IDF was finally getting more serious by retaliating with a couple hundred pinpoint air attacks, but again, as in so many other times, Hamas calls for a ceasefire, and that's, of course, to regroup and reload, although they'll make you think that they've just given up. But they always, somewhere down the road, start up again.
Yeah, this has been going on for many years.
That's right. This time, the defense minister, Lieberman, said no to the ceasefire. He wanted to finish the job, rendering Hamas totally inoperable for a very long time.
Yeah, you know, then Bibi overruled him and agreed to the ceasefire.
Yes, he did. So, Minister Lieberman became furious and quit. This means Netanyahu's coalition is now operating on thin ice and will probably have to go to early elections if the Likud wants to remain securely in power. And, to add more peculiarity, Israel continues to send in supplies into Gaza to help the innocent. But who really gets it? However, it does appease the UN.
Yeah, you know, why did Bibi accept the ceasefire, knowing this is just one of their stall tactics?
Well, from what I have been researching, Hamas is stronger than ever before. And according to the Jerusalem Post, Israel's special forces has been showing some weakness lately. And last week were actually ambushed, blowing their cover. As well, the IDF permitted a bus carrying 50 soldiers to enter a border area where it was entirely exposed to enemy fire. So where was their intelligence?
In other words, if this is how the IDF handles Hamas, how's it going to handle Hezbollah?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Which is, by the way, 10 times more powerful. Mm-hmm. So for Israel to get caught up in a huge war down south would more than likely give Israel's enemies up north, as in Hezbollah and Iran, a golden opportunity to move into the Golan Heights. And also, Bibi is well aware how this is a probable trap to keep Israel busy down south.
So, who will be the new head of defense?
Well, Naftali Bennett wants it, and he actually threatened to also pull out of the government if he didn't get it. But Bibi, who's more of a moderate, says, well, Bennett is just way too far to the right. So, as of today, Netanyahu says he will take over as defense minister, which will add to his portfolio a prime minister, foreign minister, and a few other smaller portfolios as well.
Well, the good news is Bennett has not left the government yet.
That's right, which means they still have 61 mm-hmm. seats out of 120, which is a slim majority of only one.
So no new elections as of today.
But I believe it will happen probably next spring. It's just too risky to continue with such a small margin due to the fact that if a Knesset member doesn't get his way, he'll just threaten to quit.
Yeah, as in Bennett.
That's right.
But remember, God is in control and he has a plan.
That's right. And a suggestion to that plan could be that God wants early elections, say in March rather than November, which would be after the fall feast, particularly Rosh Hashanah. And, you know, Kushner will not present the peace plan before any election, for it could influence the voters, because I am pretty sure Israel will not be very happy with the plan. Just saying. It's just what I'm thinking.
So, in summary, if this upcoming peace plan is the Treaty of Daniel 9:27, it would have to be ready to go by Rosh Hashanah.
And for reasons we have talked about often on this program, be signed on Yom Kippur,
which I believe is on October 9th next year.
That's right. So, the elections originally set for next November would have to be changed to take place before that. And that could mean that Israel might have a different prime minister, one more eager to do as he is told, so to speak. Well, we'll have more clarification on all that as time goes on. And that's really all the time we have for news today.
But watch that caravan of immigrants coming in.
Oh, yeah, right. It's it's about to get pretty ugly.
Yep. All right, then. You can reach us by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your phone number and a detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are much needed right now and greatly appreciated, which automatically puts you on our mailing list to receive our newsletter with updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning.
And a reminder, we are coming to the end of the year, and all your Christmas gifts are tax deductible, and we would really like to know if these programs bless you. So if they do, please consider blessing us so we can continue to spiritually serve you.
Okay, our last and very visible last days, Church of Laodicea.
Yes. Well, it kind of slowly crept in around approximately the 1950s. But now is full-blown. Remember, Pergamus brought in the rulership over the people. You know, the leaders, as in the bishops, were more spiritually superior over its members. Now, it's rulership by the people. They make their own rules and their own seldom judgments. So, if they want to sleep with someone who they are not married to, but still go to church on Sundays to look like a good Christian, that's okay, etc., etc. Laodicea was named after the wife of Antiochus II, Laodice, who was known for being a gossip. Sounds right for today. the city of Laodicea was hit with a huge earthquake in 60 AD, and it actually laid in a heap of ruins for a while, but eventually it was rebuilt, and is still a city in Turkey today. Now, the last letter, this last letter, since it describes so accurately these last days, deserves to be read in its entirety, and we're going to comment as we go along. So, honey, could you read verse 1?
Mm-hmm. And to the church, and to the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things say the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God.
Okay, we got to stop right there and look at the word beginning, because this is a strange construction that could throw you off if you don't examine it in the Greek. Now, especially Jehovah's Witnesses will misinterpret this word to make one think God created Jesus. The word is arche, and it actually means the preeminent one, you know, the head of or source over. In other words, the chief over creation, and that he was. Okay, so let's continue in verse 15.
I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth.
Whoa, those are strong words, but let me put you to rest. This has nothing to do with one's salvation. Okay, archaeology shows Laodicea had an aqueduct that carried water from a hot mineral spring some 5 miles south, which became tepid before entering the city.
The imagery suggests that both hot or cold water are useful, whereas lukewarm is useless.
Right. As well, bacteria, like just like the leaven, grows in lukewarm water. Another perfect analogy. Again, this has nothing to do with salvation. If you are saved, you are saved. But being a lukewarm Christian means you are unsuitable for godly service to help in growing the kingdom. You know, staying a ho-hum, lukewarm Christian, you'll never have a God-ordained ministry because you seldom read his word. So that can stifle you because you can't confess to others what you don't know personally yourself. So let's continue. Verse 17.
Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked.
Mm-hmm, in God's eyes. Also notice how he draws a contrast to Smyrna, the suffering church, who was really rich in God's eyes. So next in verse 18, Jesus tells them how they can be spiritually rich.
I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see.
Okay, so Laodicea was a city of great wealth. It was kind of a Las Vegas vacation town. The main industry was financial banking. Banking, not baking, and clothing, especially a very expensive black wool.
Which is why Jesus compares his white clothing to their wearing black wool.
Mm-hmm, that's right. Laodicea also had a great medical school famous for its eye salve, where a famous ophthalmologist practiced medicine.
Yet again, fitting that Jesus would use that analogy to anoint their eyes with eye salve.
I know, right? He's just so amazing. Yeah. And it's especially applicable today, for so many eyes are blurred to the real truth.
Yes, with that black wool veil.
Amen. Especially when you have the most famous religious leader today in the world saying, all good people go to heaven, so therefore, what do you expect? That's exactly what the lukewarmers want to hear, to tickle their ears. And by whose standard do they even measure their good works?
Their own, of course.
You know, it's like that evangelist Ray Comfort taught many years ago.
He titled it Hell's Best Kept Secret.
Yes. And he actually went on the street and would ask people if they thought being a good person would get them into heaven. Now, most said yes, and then he goes on through the Ten Commandments with them. And they had broken most of them. So how being good is that? And then he would explain the fact that they too indeed are sinners and need a Savior like all of us.
And of course the Bible does say good works alone won't save you.
I know. And in fact, Isaiah 64:6 says your good works are as filthy rags, meaningless without faith. Now James does clarify that good works is the evidence of your faith.
But faith of it must come first.
Then all your works are judged for your rewards, our crowns, after we get to heaven. Okay, let's continue in verse 19.
As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent.
That's right. If he didn't love us, he wouldn't chasten us. So be zealous and on fire.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
That's the door of your heart.
Yes, and there's 18 inches between head and heart. Okay. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to them and dine with them, and he with me.
Now notice he says anyone. Jesus says he's on the outside knocking to get in. That's sad. And Jesus says nothing good about them.
No commendations.
In fact, he tells them how to get saved because, obviously, many weren't. Only the head knowledge.
They make their own rules to live by.
Now, many couples refuse to believe anymore that sex before marriage is a sin. And homosexuality either. And yesterday I read where a lady pastor of a church says she's an atheist. And the board is allowing her to remain a pastor.
Wow.
Now, although prophesied, I am still perplexed at what is happening today. The Last Days Church, they need nothing, and they're definitely noted for its pleasures.
And still profess to be a Christian.
Let's tell our listeners about our great experiment.
Yeah, okay, for sure.
What you want to do is if you meet someone like this or know someone like this, you ask them how God would rate their Christian walk on a scale of 0 to 10. Most will say, oh, I'm about in the middle, average. Well, then you read Revelation 3:15, which, by the way, you should have memorized, about being lukewarm, therefore useless. And that is a real mind opener. But let's finish up now in verse 21.
To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
Again, 1 John 5:5 says an overcomer is anyone who professes faith through Jesus, truly believes what he has done and how Jesus overcame it all. Unfortunately, as we've been saying all through this program, there are those who say they are Christians, but in many cases, not all, have only a head knowledge without the personal, passionate heart relationship with Jesus, who, by the way, talks about these types in his gospel penned by Matthew in chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Now let's stop here and define what the will of the Father is as explained by Jesus as he was ascending into heaven in Matthew 28:19. He said, go and make disciples. Well, you have to be a disciple in order to help others to become one. So how does Scripture tell us how to be a disciple? John 8:31. Jesus says, if you abide in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. Notice, if, that's a big word there. It's only two letters, but a big word. And of course, abide means to continually be part of his word, to read it on a regular basis and understand it and pick it apart and look up words. Then you are my disciples. Now, continuing back in Matthew 7:22, he goes on to say, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Now notice, and this is very important, it says in his name. It's in his name that anyone can do these things, actually. Even cast out demons. The person does not have to be born again, although it's a very good idea for protection. But sometimes just using the name of Jesus, and if it's his will, it can't happen. The Gospels confirm that, and the Old Testament too. Remember Balaam, and even the donkey prophesied. And continuing on in verse 23, Jesus says that even though they could do these things, I never knew you. Wow. So let's look up the word new. The Greek word for new is genosko. It's number 1097. So for him to say, I never knew you, means I was never really acquainted with you. You know, I didn't know you through the word. So he continues and said, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness or iniquity, or better yet, Biblelessness. These people are not out robbing banks, okay? Law is a synonym for Torah, meaning instructions from God. In other words, they're not in his word. And so they practice a lifestyle contrary to his law. And that's what it comes down to all the time, people. You got to be in the word. So let me say it again. The main point in all of this is, what church are you in? Answer this question. Do you have a passion for him through his word? Can you just can't wait to get in it? That's the litmus test. Attending church, having your name on its roster, doesn't mean you are going to heaven. Being a good and decent person doesn't even get you to the Father. Having a close personal relationship with Jesus is the only way. And of course we know that because the Bible says so in John 14:6. And that's all of it. Just fellowship with like-minded people and spread the good news to others. The freedom is yours. There's no church rules or regulations. Just that hunger to feast on his word. By the way, the more you feast, the hungrier you will get. It's kind of amazing to see it happen. If you just stick with it, don't give up, you'll find yourself getting hungrier and understanding it a little better, because it's through the Holy Spirit that really helps you. So, it's an amazing transformation. I hope you all go for it. And remember, it's God that does it. It's not yourself, lest anyone should boast. You've got some bad habits. Don't try to get rid of them first. Get into his word. Let him help you get through it. And he will. Okay, I need to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. Time is gone again. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That's from number 6:22-27, the Aaronic blessing. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper in all ways. That's Psalm 122:6. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.